Good morning. If you would, turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, we're in a series on Sunday mornings titled What the Bible Says. And this morning, what the Bible says about the Christian race. What the Bible says about the Christian race. Those of you who know Paul know that Paul was very fond of metaphors. He's always using metaphors to describe the church. He refers to the body. He refers to a soldier. He refers to a workman. But Paul's favorite analogies were athletic. And so Paul would refer to running. He would refer to boxing. You know, for example, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about running there and boxing. In Philippians chapter 3, he talks about stretching and straining and striving toward the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in our text, Paul's talking about running the race. And so it's absolutely vital that we run this race to win. So there are three things I want to point out in this message this morning as we think about the Christian life. Paul describes it as a race. It's one way of looking at it. Paul says, run to win because the stakes are high. They're high. The prize is eternal life. The prize is heaven. That's what we're stretching and striving and straining for. Paul says over in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I didn't put this one on the screen. In Philippians chapter 3, he's describing our life as a race. And he says, beginning at verse 12, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so the Hebrew writer begins chapter 12 and says, therefore. Therefore, what does therefore refer back to? Well, at least the previous chapter. But for me, it goes all the way back to chapter 1, because all through the letter to the Hebrews, he is describing the Christian life. And Paul depicts it here as a race in which we're all running. And so, therefore, I think going back to the previous chapter, if you do that, where do you go? The Faith Hall of Fame. We see all those people who ran the race many, many years ago. They ran the race and they finished it. He refers to Abraham, for example, in chapter 11, who was said to be looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And then he refers to Moses, who was willing to suffer mistreatment with God's people rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And he tells us how he was able to do this. And it was simply by looking to the reward. Verse 24, heaven, the end of our race. That's what kept Moses going. He then refers to the martyrs who laid down their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ. And since these individuals were willing to lay down their lives for their faith, shouldn't you be willing to do the same? You know, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There is an incomparable prize called heaven that awaits all of those who finish the race. And so we're being inspired to run this race all the way to completion. And so for those who lose, they lose big, as the reward is heaven. The reward is living with God in heaven forever and ever. But on the other side of the spectrum, there's the tremendous loss. Remember, the stakes are high. You have heaven on one hand, and you have hell on the other hand. And that's the other side of this, because those who refuse to run or don't finish, hell will be the result of that. And so we're encouraged to run. And so Jesus, you know, he describes this place called hell and gave some pretty good descriptive terms to describe it. You know, hell is a place of fire. In Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a place of fire. It's a place of torment. Jesus gives us a great picture of this in Luke 16 as he gives the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and this rich man who dies and lifts up his eyes and torments. He's in agony. Hell is a place of agony. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of separation. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, we read that those who are in hell are going to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. And so, here's the thing, and this is so vital, this is so important. If you don't know where you're going when you die, it's not safe to die. Right? If you don't know where you're going when you die, it's not safe to die. You shouldn't just die, because there is a place called hell, and there's a place called heaven. But you got to run the race in order to achieve heaven. Now, this is not something we earn. It's all by grace. By grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we're encouraged to run. Now, there's a second point. The cloud of witnesses that he mentions here. Notice verse 1, chapter 12, Hebrews. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Here he refers to this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds God's people. A great crowd of witnesses. Who are they? They are the Old Testament saints that ran the race before us, but there are also New Testament saints that have died and gone on. It's both groups of people. It's not just one. It's not just those in Hebrews 11, but all of those who have died under the Christian dispensation. And so it refers to all of God's people who have passed on. Paul gives this, or whoever does Hebrews, we don't know, often we'll say Paul. But he's given this picture, and you have an amphitheater. An amphitheater is where, you know, the games would take place. And it was a stadium. And people seated in the stands, those are the great witnesses that he's talking about. We are the ones down on the field, and we're running the race. And they are cheering us on. That's what they're doing. And it's encouraging to be cheered on by all of those who run the race. And they're basically telling us, you can finish, because they ran it and they finished. And I was just thinking about those just, you know, in recent years who have passed on here, who are in the stands cheering us on. And it's just encouraging to think about Bart and Doris out there, you know, in that amphitheater watching us run the race, or Shirley's dad, Mr. Mock. Or Jeannie Heim, or Cliff and Abby Morrison, or Jack and Joanne Touchstone, or Dean Stites, Rudy Jimenez, Don Myers, Monty Williams, Darla Williams, Jean and Grace Gobin, Randy Williams, Marlon Mason, Donna Bunch, Carl and Betty Blunk, Rick and Sheena Sherrill, Fred Thurston, Harlan Bay, old Buddy Harmon and Joanne, and others. And if I miss some, I'm sorry. Can't get everybody, but all of these people are in the stands, and they're watching, and they're cheering us on, and they're encouraging us. And so they are inspiring examples. It's always good to look at those who've run the race and won to be able to say, oh, you can do it. They know we can do it because they ran that race. And they won that race. And so when we see others do it, we know that we can do it ourselves. And we're encouraged by that. But number three this morning, maybe the most important part of this message today, and that is that the discipline that is needed. The discipline that is needed. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1 again, therefore since, notice, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, here you go, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So first of all, we need to be disciplined. We need stiff discipline. And so we need to get serious. And we need to realize that there are some things we simply need to get rid of in our lives. There are weights that we acquire in life that simply weigh us down. They keep us from running in effective ways. Now, these things may be good in and of themselves. They may not be sinful in and of themselves, but rather maybe they are just things that are too time consuming. And so you don't have time for the Lord's work. You don't have time to share the word with your family or to reach out to people who don't know Jesus because you've got this hobby you do and it takes up all of your time. And if that's the case, then it's something that's not bad in of itself, but because it's consuming you, it's not a good thing. And when something is consuming like that in your life, it's good to lay that aside because it's going to weigh you down. You can't run a long distance run with weights. And so remember, the Christian race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long distance run. And it's not a matter of who's the first to cross the line. It's all who cross the line win. It's just a long distance run. It's not that there's one winner. All who run the race win. That's what we're told. And so maybe there's something in your life that's a weight. And as I said, it could be some activity that you do. Maybe you love to play golf. Maybe you like to go to the gym and work out. Maybe you love to get on the computer and stay on the computer for hours and hours and hours, and it's just time consuming, and you're not really doing anything, right? You're just wasting time, and man, you can be in prayer, you can be in the Word, you can be instructing your family, you can be reaching out, you can be praying for people. We can actually run the race. That's something, right? And that's what we should be doing. And so the Hebrew writer wants us to know that there are weights that will keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And we can't let those things get in the way, whatever they might be. You know, the Apostle Paul said, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits all things. And so we need to seriously evaluate, look at our life and say, you know, am I running the race or am I distracted? And so many of us get distracted. And I think the way it goes with many Christians, you know, seem like you do real good for a while. You're running the race. You're doing good. But then for whatever reason, you just kind of fall flat and you never really get your footing. And then you'll pick it up and run again and then kind of fall and then pick it up and run again. We need to be consistent. We need to be consistent runners. We need to run all the way to the end. Keep running till Jesus shows up. That's what God is calling us to do. But also, not only are there weights that can weigh us down and keep us from an effective race, but there are sins. There are sins. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And so, just because we're Christians doesn't mean we live perfect lives. We sin. And sometimes we get more involved in sin than we should. But I think all of us have weaknesses in our lives. We all have areas where we're weaker than other people. And our weaknesses are not all the same. One person in here, maybe their weakness is drugs. Another person, their weakness could be alcohol. Another weakness could be pornography. Right? And so there are all kinds of weaknesses. There are all kinds of sins that we can be guilty of. And these are sins where Satan knows he can get us. Listen, Satan is very clever. And he's been working with human beings for thousands of years. He knows every trick in the book. He knows how to get your goat. He knows how to stir you up. He knows your weak points. And he's going to hit on those. He knows you very well. And so we need to be thinking about this. And we need to think about, you know, sin will keep you from running the race. It will keep you from running the race. And so we have to be very cautious that we don't get caught up in greed or alcohol or pornography or drugs or whatever it might be. The Hebrew writer says, watch out for every weight, watch out for every sin, because it will keep you from running the race. And then he mentions that we need to run this race with endurance. We need to run this race with endurance. And this is so vital. Run it with endurance. And so, as I mentioned, the Christian race, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And here's the thing. It's easy to start this race, but it's hard to finish. It takes effort. It takes willpower. It takes desire. It takes stretching and straining. There are things you have to do. We can't just coast. We don't just become a Christian and say, God, you got this from here on. You do it. You live it. You take care of it. No. I'm called to be faithful in my relationship with Him. And I need to run this race all the way to the end. Now, it seems like there are lots of people that just seem like they just start fading. And they don't have what it takes to endure. They don't have what it takes to keep on keeping on. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of things that I think will help you with that. If you will do these things, I'll give you four things real quick. And if you'll do them, they will help you to run this race all the way to the finish line. Number one, stay in. Stay in. Stay in what? Stay in the Word. Stay in Scripture. We call this meditation. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly will perish. And so we need to stay in Scripture, stay in the Word. That's going to keep you faithful. A big mistake that believers make is they get away from Scripture. And when you get away from this book right here, you get away from the very source that keeps you alive spiritually. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we need the Scriptures to stay alive spiritually. And so stay in the Word. If you stay in this book, you stay in Scripture, I'm telling you, it will help you. It's when you get distracted with whatever your distractions might be, or a sin, that we get away from here. And once we get away from here, we get into trouble real quick. Stay in. Secondly, stay close. Stay close to who? Stay close to a friend. Satan loves to isolate us. That's what he wants to do. He knows if he can isolate us, he can destroy us. God knows that if we stay together, Satan can't win. And so Scripture encourages us to be there for one another and to encourage one another. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, Hebrews 3:12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you a heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But listen to verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so verse 13 is vital. Our job is to encourage one another to be faithful. And so we know that we need to be faithful, but who's going to help us? Well, our brothers and sisters in Christ are going to help us to be faithful. You should be helping others to be faithful in Jesus Christ. And hopefully you are, because God wants you to do that. We need one another. But I'm just telling you, Satan is really good. And he knows that if he can get you isolated, he can get you all alone, he can tear you up. He knows that. And that's what he wants to do. Don't allow him to get you alone. Isn't that what all wild animals do? They go after a herd. They don't go after the whole herd. They pick one. And then they go after that one and they isolate that one from the herd. And as soon as he's isolated from the herd, a Cape buffalo or whatever, he's done for. He's done for. But he stays in the herd. He's safe. There's safety with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some don't want a fellowship. We need fellowship. It's essential. You can't do this thing called Christianity apart from fellowship. You can't do it alone. You can't do it in isolation. That's what Satan wants. Don't give it to him. Stay in Scripture. Stay close to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And stay away from the things that weaken you. And so there are things that weaken you. You do have weaknesses. Right? You're not Superman. And so you have weaknesses. Whatever those weaknesses are, it is vital that you recognize them and you stay away from those things. Because if you don't, you're just helping the devil out. You're just helping him take you down, and you don't want to do that. And then lastly here, real quick, stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert to what? To the tactics of the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And so, you need to be aware of him. You need to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. And then, real quick, yeah, that last thing. The race that is set before us. I want to mention just a word about that. So if we think about this race, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, in 2 Timothy 2 verse 5, he says this, "And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." And so we don't win the race unless we follow the rules, unless we follow the principles, unless we follow the guidelines, unless we follow the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We cannot win the race. You know, Oprah Winfrey said on one occasion, she says, "You know, the mistake that many of us make is thinking that there's only one way to heaven." She goes on to say, "There are many ways." So when Oprah dies and comes back from the dead, then I'll listen to her about that. But until she dies and she's resurrected, I'm not going to listen to her. The Bible says there's one way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me." There are not a multitude of ways. There is one way. And the rule is that if you follow Jesus, you can win the race. If you don't follow Jesus, you cannot win the race. How do you know that? Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus is the only one who is qualified to save. And so I would say to Oprah, and I would say to anyone else, if you don't like God's race, you don't like his rules, his principles, his way of running, then here's my suggestion. Go out, create your own universe, create your own race, and you run that one. If you don't like God's. But you have a choice. You can run your own race, you can run God's race. I want to encourage you to run God's race. And so this morning, That if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian, you've never been born again. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In order to be with God when life is over here, you need to experience what the Bible calls new birth. New birth is to be born again. It's a spiritual rebirth. God recreates you. He remakes you in Jesus Christ. He forgives your sins. And He adds you to His family, fills you with the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, if you've never responded to the gospel, we hope and pray that you'll do that. Let us share with you how you can be saved, how God can wash away your sins in Jesus Christ. And if you have any other need, we encourage you to make that known as we stand together and sing.